Good evening, everyone. I declare meeting number 12 open, today being Monday the 27th of June 2016, and the time being just gone past 5:30. I'd like to remind all in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I now ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. And he has confirmed. First duty on tonight's agenda is to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay respect to them, their customs, and also to their elders past, present and future. In attendance tonight is myself, Councillor Watts, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Reek, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastan, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff, we have our General Manager, Mr. Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr. Ferrier, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Breen, our Executive Manager, Organisational Development, is Hughes, Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr. Reeve, our Manager, Development Services, Mrs. Loxley, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms. Wilcox, our Executive Officer, Mr. Holloway, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Morton. And I guess this would be Mr. Holloway's last meeting, is that correct? So on behalf of the elected members, Mr. Holloway, thank you for your assistance and support over, I'm not sure how many years you've been with us, but a number, and I hope you've enjoyed most of them, if not all. And also in attendance tonight is the Kingborough Community Consultative Forum President, Mr. Wayne Burgess. Apologies, all being present, there are no apologies. Confirmation of the minutes of Council Meeting Number 11 held on Tuesday the 14th of June 2016. I have a mover in Councillor Chatterton and I have a second in Councillor Berry. And that is that the minutes of Number 11 held on the 14th of June 2016 be confirmed. Those in favour, please say.
Can I raise an issue with?
You can ask a question.
Thanks, Mayor. In the minutes on page 8, the development application for the Margate train. Now, I might be out of order, but I just wanted to raise the fact that I queried the drainage plans and other issues relating to the drainage that the developer had to do when it was signed off by the environmental officer. And I thought we were going to get something back on those. It's not. But I suppose
yes,
it's not minuted unless I asked for it to be...
Yeah, no, I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to respond because Mrs. Loxley did indicate an answer to your question. Mrs. Loxley?
My recollection was... when I was first asked the question, I couldn't answer it, and then later on in the meeting, I came across the information and answered it. Unfortunately, I can't remember what the answer was, but I'm certainly happy. I know I did answer it within at the meeting.
I think the answer was, Mrs. Loxley, that if it needed to be, it would be included as the condition.
I think that's right, Mayor, but that never happened, and it was a bit confusing, that report, if you looked at it. Anyway, we just have to let it go, but I just wanted to raise that.
That's fine, Councillor Grace. I'll ask Mrs. Loxley just to look into that tomorrow to make sure that everything's okay, and certainly thank you for raising that. I have a recommendation moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the minutes of Council Meeting Number 11 held on the 14th of June 2016 be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. There has been one workshop since the last meeting on the 14th of June, and that was held on the 20th of June, which was our car parking strategy. Declarations of interest, councillors. I now ask you if any declarations of interest. Councillor Fox?
I have an interest in, pecuniary interest in DA 20169, the service station at 197 Channel Highway, Kingston. And I will be leaving the room.
Thank you. And I'd just like to advise that I, in relation to DAS 201531, I had a short telephone discussion with the applicant's husband, which probably really was to inform me that the DA was going to be on this agenda, but I won't be leaving the room. Okay, thank you, Councillor Fox. We'll now move on to, where are we, page 3, questions on notice from the public. There are none? Yes? No? Questions without notice from the public. Mr. Burgess. I've got a speaker coming to you.
Thanks, Ian. Some weeks ago, a vehicle was badly damaged and I think partly at least burnt out and spent some time on Algona Road. Now, I realise Algona Road is not council responsibility. However, last week, a vehicle was similarly damaged, but more extensively so, and is an absolute wreck in Blowhole Road at Blackmans Bay. My question is, does council have any, if there's no possibility, as I suspect that vehicle in Blowhole Road was probably stolen, if there's very little or no chance of the owner or an insurance company being made responsible for it, does council then have to pick up the tab in terms of A, dealing with the vehicle, getting rid of it, and some idea what the costs might be involved?
Thank you, and I'm not sure whether Mr. Holloway would like to answer that or Mr. Reeve. Mr. Holloway.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In respect of vehicles, council's notified by Tasmania Police that a vehicle has been abandoned, and then we use the provisions of the Local Government Highways Act to remove the vehicle. And that cost is borne by council, and if there's any chance of any recovery of that cost, then we endeavour to do so. But in usually, the chances of any cost recovery is minimal to zero.
Thank you. And could you outline the number of days before a vehicle is moved, please?
It generally is reliant on the police, but I can't give you there is no specific timeline within the legislation. We are advised by the police because they have to go through. Because if a vehicle is registered and parked on the road, unless it's contravening a parking restriction, then there's no offence.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. That answers your question, Mr. Burgess. Thank you. Questions, page 4, questions on notice from councillors. You can see there Councillor Berry has asked a number of 4 questions in relation to building works, and there is a response from Mrs. Loxley underneath. At the bottom of page 4, a question asked by Councillor Bastone regarding the heavy rain and damage, and a response from Mr. Reeve on page 5. Halfway down page 5 is a question from Councillor Grace regarding Snug Tiers and other roads, and a response from Mr. Reeve on pages 5 and top of 6. Halfway down page 6, a question from Councillor Atkinson regarding the Kingston Central bus stops, and a response from Mr. Reeve. And now we're on page 7. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions? Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. I probably just need to ask whether it's in order. I wanted to ask a follow-up question after the answers provided from item 27, which is actually an item on the agenda, and I wasn't sure whether I could do that or whether I had to wait for a fortnight.
Can we hear your question, please, Councillor?
Does it
relate to the item?
Pardon?
Does it relate to tonight's item?
It's related to item 27. It's a separate question, basically, but it does follow on the responses. I mean, if I'd been sitting in your chair, Mr. Mayor, I would have allowed it, but I just
of course
wanted
you
to
be. Of course.
I just wanted to be quite clear about that. The question relates to item 27 of the planning fees. Clearly, this was written before the advent of shipping containers, which now seem to be almost as prevalent as mobile phones, even deposited in suburban gardens, and also clearly before Airbnb required development applications. My question is, what is the process for having item 27 of the planning fees updated to include newer items which development application is required?
Mrs. Loxton?
Through you, Chair, the fees and charges register contains all the fees and charges, and if we want to change any of those fees or change the scale of fees, then it would be presumably a report to Council.
So, Council, there to be a report to Council if we want to change any of the fees in the fees and charges structure.
Can you just repeat exactly what has to be done for me? I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well tonight. No, it's my fault, I know.
Mrs. Loxley, would you like to repeat?
The fees and charges register, if we want to change any of the fees or the scale of fees, then we would do a report to Council with any recommendations and then seek to have those new fees adopted and then presumably change the fees and charges register accordingly.
That would require a notice of motion, is that correct? Asking for a report, or is that
for a report? Yes, you need it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Some weeks ago, the General Manager distributed the councillors his interpretation of the planning scheme in respect to election signs, and now there's multiple breaches of those conditions. I wondered if Council intends to take any action of its own initiative on that, or whether you rely on complaints before we take any action.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. I'll ask the General Manager to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, it's generally a combination of officer surveillance, if you like, during election period, and particularly complaints. Given our current resources, it's probably more reactive than proactive, I'd have to say that. If you have any specific examples in mind, I'd be happy to have them followed up.
Thank you.
Councillor Bastow?
Mine is of a similar nature. I wondered how long trailers were allowed to be parked with advertising signs on them in a public place.
I'll ask Mr. Arnold to respond. Mrs. Loxley, thank you.
Through you, Chair, Council's determination that it's the placing of the advert that is a breach of the planning scheme if it's over a certain size, regardless of whether it's on a trailer or on a post or anything else. There are a number of adverts on trailers at the moment that Council is currently in discussions with the candidates to seek their removal, both on private land and also on state growth land.
Thank you. Councillor Gross.
Regarding the same question Councillor Atkinson raised about election signs, I think it needs to be overhauled again, although it's pretty clear when you look. But I know for a fact that different parties put, or councillors put up signs without permission from the property owner. So I think that's more of a breach when people don't take the courtesy to ask the people, and you're supposed to get that in writing before you put any signs up at all on anybody's property. And I had a guy that rang me that had signs, he wasn't even aware that they were going up, they just turned up, put them up. He pulled them down and told me to come put my signs up, but I didn't, because I didn't want to cause an argument.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Chadden?
Mayor, I've got an item of interest. I would assume that you would take that before we go into committee.
There is no items of interest anymore under the Local Government Act.
I think we need to report on something I mentioned to you earlier on where I was.
Yes, I think that's appropriate, and look, please do now.
Okay. Councillors, I attended our past Mayor Don Hazel and Gwen Hazel's memorial service on Saturday. There are 800 odd people in attendance at that. One of our past general managers, Mr. Gregor Loams, was the MC of the event, and there was numerous dignitaries speaking, including the Premier, and there was a choir from the Collegiate School, where Mrs. Hazel was very much involved in that particular school. The event went for over an hour, and as I say, there was a lot of people. Most people were from our municipality, but I believe it was a wonderful send-off to a gentleman and a worthy mayor of this municipality and his wife, and it was a wonderful event.
Thank you, Councillor Chadwick. Councillors, I'll move on to the next item, which is motions of which notice has been given, and there's one here, Channel Youth Infrastructure, and I'll ask Councillor Grace if he is formally moving that motion. You are. Do I have a second, please? Councillor Winter. Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, we don't need to sort of expand much more on what I think most of the council is aware of. All we're asking for is a report because of the amount of growth, and that did come up in discussions. I think was it at the workshop or one of the Blackmans Bay skate park, and that's all we're following up on.
Thank you. Further speakers for or against? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Winter. A report be provided to Council outlining existing public infrastructure dedicated to youth recreation in the Channel region and options for new public youth recreational infrastructure in the Channel region. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. On the day of compiling the agenda, no petitions had been received. The open session of Council will now adjourn, and the Planning Authority meeting will commence at 5:48. And I remind Councillors now that we're sitting as a Planning Authority. The first report of officers is delegated authority, and there is a recommendation on page 10. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Any questions, comments? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. On page 11 is development application 201679, a development application for a service station and associated infrastructure works at the Channel Highway Road Reserve as part of 41 Alfred's Garden, to be known as 197 Channel Highway and Channel Highway Road Reserve, Kingston for Jaws Architects. And for the record, Councillor Fox left the meeting at 5:48. There is a recommendation on page 35.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Was that Councillor Percy a seconder? Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Look, it's something we've worked on now for, 10, 15 years, I think, about service station. I take it it's going to replace BP here in town. I think it's a different one. Different one, oh well, anyway, another one won't hurt, they say. So, they're getting scarcer by the day, service stations. But the report's pretty lengthy on it. There's obviously been a lot of work gone into preparing this submission for it. Application. So, as I said, Mayor, I did think it was going to replace the one in town, but it's not. But still, I think it won't do any harm down out of town, because we may encourage some of the heavier vehicles out of the main part of town.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Atkinson.
Just briefly for the record, I asked Lockley a question about lopping trees, but there's a note on one of the drawings on page 46 about the significant trees being lopped to 6 metres from the ground, and the recommendation about that lopping to only take place in, or not in spring, and she assures me that condition number two, which says that there's identified Pinus maricata trees on the site, etc., all measures recommended by Alistair Hodgman and subsequent emails must be implemented. So she reassures me that care will be taken of those trees, because that is my concern.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Well, councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for service station and associated infrastructure works in the Channel Highway Road Reserve at part of 41 Alfred's Garden, to be known as 197 Channel Highway, and Channel Highway Road Reserve Kingston for Jaws Architects be approved, and subject to the following conditions. There are 16 conditions, and I'll ask councillors to, for those who vote in favour, to please say aye. Those against? Then that is carried by all here. Not unanimous, because Councillor Fox left the room. So it was carried 9. Which is Councillor Atkinson, Bastone, Berry, Chatterton, Grace, Percy, Wass, Witter and Reed in favour. No one opposed. The next item is on page 49. It's a development application 201680. Development application for removal of existing steps and deck and construction of walking tracks, viewing decks and toilet building at Bruny Island Neck Game Reserve, Bruny Island Main Road, South Bruny, PID 784-2171 for Mr. J.Q. Hood. There is a recommendation on page 55.
So moved.
And that was Councillor Percy who was seconded. Councillor Fox? Councillor Percy.
Right, this area is one of the most popular experiences when visiting Bruny Island, and it's going to be constructed more durable materials than the current one. There's allowance there for wheelchair access, which is good. As I said, the current one doesn't comply with standards within the Building Code of Australia. The waste from the proposed toilet will be contained on site, and the toilet will only be a small footprint at that site. There's plans by State Growth, which they've announced recently, that there's going to be an upgrade of the whole area over the next few years, including the car park and sewing the road. So, the development is considered to have less visual impact on the surrounding landscape than the existing infrastructure, and the development will result in significant long-term social or economic community benefits. PWS has been consulted with this development and provided a reserve activity assessment, therefore following the conditions of the RWA will ensure the environmental impact will be adequately managed. This is a good outcome for Bruny Island.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions on behalf of the Access Committee, because unfortunately by the time this DA was drawn to their attention, representations are closed, and there was a couple of comments that they wished to make and that I undertook to bring to Planning Authority on their behalf. The first one is in relation to the accessible toilet. According to the plans, it looks as if all the hand washing facilities are in one spot, and could you please confirm that this is correct?
Mrs. Loxley, when you're ready.
I'm not familiar with that, so I'm just going to quickly look at the plans, but I would say in response to that that details to confirm compliance with the disability regulations are controlled at the building application stage, so sometimes it can be a little indicative at this stage, but that they will be confirmed at the building application stage and they have to comply with the requirements. I can't actually see hand basins on the plans that I'm looking at.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but
yep.
they will be provided because they will be required.
And perhaps, as you might be aware, the Access Committee have recently produced a brochure which
is for commercial developers in particular to think about things over and above the building code. Just small things about the way the handles turn and things to be able to be a lot easier for people of all abilities. So could we just ask that is given to Parks and Wildlife before they go ahead with the building so that they're aware of some of those smaller details that aren't necessarily strictly in the code but do make life easier for somebody who is impacted by a disability or chronic condition. Another question that they asked was that the plans refer to providing a gravel path to link the existing car park to the walkway. The existing car park is dodgy, that's their word, re-stability, and the last few occasions that the visitor Bruni, it's been full. I think some clarification is needed about the size of the current car park, even during this interim phase, and the safety of people moving from the car park to the path, re-stealing, etc. Can you provide some comment on that?
Mrs. Lockson.
Through you, Chair. As indicated in the report, there are further plans to upgrade that whole car park and the road there and the turning area for buses, etc. So all of those matters will presumably be addressed in those plans. As to the interim measures, I know from discussions with the applicant that they do have plans for, you know, how to accommodate visitors when parks are developed and other parks aren't. And I can certainly bring that to their attention again, but I suspect the greater concerns in terms of the surface of the car park and the gradient of the car park will be addressed when we have the plans for the redevelopment of the car park.
Thank you. And just one final comment. On the wheelchair accessible walking platform, when the W1 segments are added up, they come to 155 metres and not 181 as under the total column. So we have a member who's very good at math. So if you could just note that, but they did want to just highlight that they're very excited about this development because it means that some of them will be able to actually go up and view parts of Bruni Island that haven't been a very long time as ever. So thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Rick. For the record, Councillor Fox returned to the meeting at 5:51 before this item was commenced. And now I'll call on Councillor Fox to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, I guess for historical purposes, I'd like to mention the fact that a former Mayor, Reg Gee, who was also an engineer, actually designed the original steps a long time ago, probably about 28 years ago. And they're obviously, at the time, they were pretty special and unique and have been appreciated by people. It's a fairly iconic view. For Kingborough, and I think it's a shame that they're going to be replaced, but I hope it's going to be for the better for the environment. But I'm just wondering if that iconic view is still going to be achievable. I can't quite work out from the drawings where that would fit on the actual landscape and on the, for example, on the picture on page 57, where that would be imposed on that topography.
Thank you. I'll ask Mrs. Loxley if she can throw some light on it for us, please.
My understanding is that that's still going to be achieved. It's just a case of being able to use the contours to get up to the top rather than straight up. I can't pinpoint at the moment the exact point that you'll achieve that view, but my understanding is that was absolutely the intention, that it still takes you to the top there.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace?
And Mayor, that was the understanding, I believe, when you and I visited there with the Premier when it was unveiled, that because that magnificent view will never be lost. Just the contour that they're going to follow, I think they said.
Yes, on page 61, yeah. They say to the summit.
Thank you.
Further speakers, councillors? Councillor Percy, would you like to close debate? Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for removal of the existing steps and deck and construction of walking tracks, viewing decks and toilet building at Bruni Island Nick Game Reserve, Bruni Island Main Road, South Bruni,
PID 7842171 for Mr. J.Q. Hood be approved subject to the following conditions. There are four conditions. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against, that motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 73 and relates to a development application 2016167 for two units, one existing at 28A Nolan Crescent, Kingston, for DM Projects Proprietary Limited, and there is a recommendation on page 81. Thank you, Councillor Chadden, and thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Chadden?
Yes, Mayor, look, I have no problems at all with the report and the application. In fact, it does bring back memories of the area of Nolan Crescent some years ago, and I think planning situation may have changed since then, but there was a lot, those blocks along Nolan Crescent are rather large, and there was some applications in the past to have a secondary dwelling placed on some of the lots, and they weren't successful in the past, but obviously this one meets the criteria, and it's better use of large land and infill development where appropriate, and therefore I support the application.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Any further discussion, councillors? On that basis, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Reid, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for two units, one existing at 28A Nolan Crescent, Kingston, for DM Projects Proprietary Limited be approved subject to the following conditions. There are 11 conditions. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 94 and relates to DAS 201531, development application for subdivision of one lot and balance requiring relaxation of minimum lot size at 8 Y Burton Place, Margate, for Mrs. A. L. Rees. I have a move in Councillor Grace on page 109. And do I have a second, please? Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
Look, I don't see any major problem with this down there. I know there was one representative, but that resident had also plans to build at the rear of his property at a future date. So it's they're big lots, and as you know, council upgraded the road some few years back. It would have been sealed then only for one person, saying it didn't want sealing, so council took the option and didn't seal it. So now that person's saying it should be sealed, so you can't win whichever way you go. But I have no hesitation in recommending this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, the only concern was worked through the whole lot was lot 3, where it didn't have quite a big frontage, enough frontage, but the objections have been overcome there. I just, it says there, satisfactory completion of all public infrastructures after a 52-week care and maintenance. What public infrastructure are we actually talking about here? Is it the stormwater, is it?
I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to respond to your question. Mrs. Loxley?
It will be extensions to of the infrastructure to service the lot. So it will be stormwater and tap water will be concerned with the sewer and water as well. So the conditions of there are attached to the service as well.
Is that normal, is it, for a development of this type to have a 2-week care and maintenance?
It is quite normal, and if there's matters that are coming over to council, then there would be a maintenance period.
Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I went and had a look at this afternoon. I'd never been to Wyburton before. It's a strange
road, you feel like you're driving into some sort of an estate or something. I know the road's not sealed, but the only issue was the lot size, and I see the officer's report. There's something there about the fact that the developer produced a sketch drawing that indicated that the proposed dwelling could be accommodated in the space. I mean, I was just a little bit worried about the word sketch, or should I not be concerned about that?
I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to respond.
Through you, Chair, the requirements are to show a building envelope with dimensions of 10 by 15 metres. That's a standard provision, and that's a building envelope that can be accommodated free of the setbacks, which indicates that it's possible to build a dwelling on that site. So you look at the area of the site, then you also look at the dimensions of the lot, and if they can accommodate that 10 by 15 metre envelope free of setbacks and still provide adequate area for open space and parking, etc., that it indicates to us that it is a reasonable size lot and is capable of accommodating a dwelling, albeit potentially a fairly small one.
Thank you, Mrs. Austin. Councillor Grace, would you like to close the debate?
I consider it closed, Nick.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for subdivision of one lot and balance requiring relaxation of minimum lot size at 8 Wyburton Place, Margate, for Mrs. A.L. Rees be approved subject to the following conditions. And the following conditions there are, in fact, 18 conditions. Councillors, I'll ask to vote. Those in favour, if you would say aye. Those against, that development application is carried unanimously. At 6:08, the open session of Council resumed, and reports of officers on page 120, local government reform. And there is a recommendation.
Move the matter to discuss, please.
Do I have a seconder to discuss? Councillor Winter. I'll put that. Moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the matter be discussed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I thought it would be an opportune time to actually discuss this matter. I certainly wouldn't be supporting the recommendation that we have in front of us. And the major reason for that is that the Huon Valley Council have sent a letter under the signature of the Mayor. What we are being asked to do, basically, my interpretation of it, is to actually insert ourselves into the political shenanigans going on at Huon Valley Council. The proposal that M1 be adopted was, I think, opposed by three of the councillors who included the mayor. I'm not taking sides in any of this, but what I'm saying is that I think we should be extremely cautious about agreeing to their request, to not actually being asked even to discuss something. They've actually put a proposal on the table to adhere all the area, including Margate, south of Margate, into the Huon Valley Council. I have to be careful what I say, and I need to be cautious, but that's a pretty preposterous suggestion. We have written to Huon Valley Council, and on two occasions that I was mayor, we approached the council to see what the possibilities would be of sharing services. We have in the report from the general manager that we are waiting from August 2015, I think that's correct, Mr. General Manager, who provided information to Huon Valley Council about what we had proposed, which was that we meet together and discuss the possibility of shared services and whatever way we might be able to work together. I think I just need to say again, I think we should be very cautious about inserting ourselves into the political shenanigans going on at Huon Valley Council. And if this motion is passed, or if it, it fails, I'll certainly be moving a motion that we resume the negotiations which we attempted to do in the past, that we request we have a report from their council, and that we're very happy to meet with them and discuss possibilities for sharing services and whatever else they like to talk about. But I won't be participating in this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, I had similar concerns to Councillor Berry in reading this, and I went back and listened to the audio of Huon Valley's debate when they passed this motion and sent it over to us, and it wasn't the strongest debate I've heard, and there was some interesting points put forward. But one of the strongest contributions I thought was by Councillor McIntosh, who was arguing to his fellow councillors, we should look at all the options. We shouldn't just send a proposal to Kingborough Council. We should say, hey, let's talk first and let's discuss together in a mature and orderly way. And I thought that's a very sensible approach, and it sounds much like the approach that Kingborough Council took 12 months ago when we said we wanted to discuss all the options with Huon Valley Council. And to that end, I think our response should be to go back to them and say the exact, almost the same things we said 12 months ago. We want to discuss local government reform with you. We want to do that through the state government's reform process. We want to look at all the options and find out what they are, because this report deals exclusively with what's in the best interest of Huon Valley. And one of the points it makes is that residents in this M1 area will actually be worse off in terms of they'll pay more rates than they are now. They'll be asked to be going into a municipality which is under some considerable political pressure and uncertainty. So whilst I don't live in that area, I dare say there wouldn't be a lot of enthusiasm about this approach from our residents, and that's without having done public consultation. Which brings me on to my third point, which is that they've somewhat ambiguously discussed the idea of public consultation commencing on 1st of July. My immediate concern was that they would start trying to publicly consult with Kingborough residents. And I think we should be really clear with them that we don't want them consulting with our residents about what's in the best interest of the people in the channel, because that's our responsibility to discuss at the appropriate time with members of our community and our municipality. Local government reform and what it might mean, and if there are any benefits or negatives. I have an alternative motion. I'll maybe let other people discuss and may put it later.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Chatterley.
Look, for the benefit of those newer councillors, this really, the report that they've had prepared, in my opinion, is directly down the lines of the Munro report, which was done straight into local government by Ms Munro, who was a previous GM of Brisbane City Council, along with other Mr Sol Aslake and a couple of other people involved. And we spent many hours as councils, all the southern councils, meeting at various times and going through the said Munro report. And when one looks at what the Felmingham group have put together, it seems to very much mirror the Munro report. And at that time we were asked to consult, and I know that the majority of people south of Margate said we don't want to leave Kingborough, and that was a very, very strong message coming out at that time from people south of Margate, and it was a very strong message to council. And I know it was, the item was discussed at quite some length at the consultative forum groups, and a lot of other things were happening at that time. Of course, that report has sat on the table, and nothing seems to have eventuated, which in one way I suppose is disappointing, because no reform has taken place. However, we've still endeavoured over the previous years to work, the staff have tried to work with the staff at Huon Valley and looking at IT and other items that we, and where possible, we have jointly gone to tender on things. And I mean, we haven't sort of closed the door at any stage on the valley. But as I did say a couple of, was it last meeting or the meeting before when we had the motion again from Councillor Winter, that I just thought it was a little bit inappropriate at the time because of what was happening down the valley. And now, obviously, they thought, well, we've got to do something because the pressure's on them to stay as a council, and they're trying to do what they can to wave the flag down that end to obviously keep the state government at bay and allow them to continue as a council. I concur with the comments of Councillor Berry and Councillor Winter that I think we need to tread very carefully. I think we need to still make sure that the hand of friendship is there to have an open and transparent discussion with Huon Valley, and with no commitment to opt either M1, M2 or M65 or whatever else might come up. I think we need to sit down at an officer and mayor and perhaps deputy mayor level and look at what we can do for sharing services, what we can do for the ratepayers of both municipalities, and what would be advantages. One of the things that does disappoint me in the said report that it's attached, a lot of the figures are now 5 and 6 years old, and times have changed since those figures were done, and I think it refers to Margate being the growth area, and yes, it was and has been over the last 5 years, it's been the growth area of the municipality, but the areas that will become our growth areas in the not too distant future will be Spring Farm and the property alongside that, which are in the Kingborough, what they declare as the Kingborough municipality, not in that southern area. And I think they need to be made aware that the growth in that inverted commas south of Margate area is not going to be as strong as it has been in the past because the land is not available for subdivision. So I think a lot of those issues need to be talked about and looked into, and I just think we really just need to go with a hand of friendship and say, look, let's have a bit of a chit-chat, but with no talk of this cutting up of any municipality or whatever at this point in time.
Thank you, Councillor Chadwin. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I won't repeat at length. The other speakers covered a lot of stuff I'd like to cover. I also think that it's unreasonably limited to just think about the M1 option, and that we're currently in discussion with Hobart, among others, as to what the options are. I don't think we can take the discussion with Huon Valley Council in isolation looking at just one option, because what happens there is also dependent on what happens between ourselves and Hobart. And when we discussed this, whenever it was, in the last 12 months, our original position was that we were only interested in talking to Huon Valley Council, and we had a reasonably interesting debate about it, but we said let's base our decision upon recent information, let's look at the offers from other councils and look at, and get all the information so we can make an informed decision. And that seems like it was our decision then, and I think that's how we should behave now. I'd be happier, and I'm not sure what Councillor Winter's proposed motion is. I mean, if this read something like repeat our offer to Huon Valley Council to implement discussions on local government reform, I'd be happier with that. Rather than accept their offer, because we've made an offer to discuss local government reform before, and that's still open. I was just interested in one. I had a question in 4.7 where it said on 21st of September 2015, Council's General Manager provided a draft brief to Huon Valley Council for feedback, and no feedback on the draft feasibility study has been received from Huon Valley Council to date, despite repeated requests. I was interested in who that was sent to and who the requests for feedback come from, because at least one councillor was, Huon Valley Council was totally unaware that we sent that or that we'd had repeated requests and they hadn't responded. So I'm interested in what the communication problems are there.
That was done on an officer level, so it went from our general manager to their general manager.
Right, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Gross.
Whilst I don't agree with this, I think there's a lot of work to be done as far as amalgamations are concerned. To be quite frank, we're no further ahead and we're not going to get any further ahead for some time. But what I am concerned about, and I'm not criticising Councillor Chatterton, but
one thing he did state was that a lot of the information is way out of date, numbers are out of date. Quite right. I've always had my views, and these have been my views, that I believe that if it was amalgamation to take place, how about take Kingston, Blatton and Spade to Roon? That's my view. And we form a council down south. Now, one can argue the fact that it never survived. I definitely believe it would survive. There's no question about that. We have great potential down south. The only thing that's stopping it now is the fact the way the planning scheme has changed to try and get all the development in one area. That's where it's going to kill it. But Mayor, I don't want to say too much about this. This has got a long way to go, and I'm very interested in Councillor Berry and Councillor Winter's motion or alternative motion that we put to them.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Look, I think Councillor Berry hit the nail on the head when he suggested that now's probably not the best time to be getting involved with the Huon Valley Council, and it's a bit like watching a soap opera at the moment every time you open a newspaper. I do think that if we go into a discussion as this motion is drafted, that I'm not actually quite sure who would have a mandate to have this discussion, because there's clearly, as the local government report said, a great deal of dysfunction and divide amongst both councillors and their staff. And so I would find it very difficult, I think, for us to get some sort of united and productive outcome from those discussions. So I don't know that it's the right time to go down that path. But I note with interest, I found the background, and a couple of chatted and stood in front of the background, but I found in the report from the background fascinating that they've actually, this is the third report they've done on these particular options, and it dates back to 1998. For example, taking out just Taroona and having Taroona part of the Huon Valley Council, and having Taroona residents bypass their own civic centre to be currently their own civic centre to be part of another council just seems bizarre, and I'm not too sure of other situations where that would exist within local government, where you'd have a part being handed over that is not physically adjacent to the local government area. So I find some of it curious. I think that even more interesting is that you've got the same, or at least one of the same people involved in the 1998 study who then updated this most recent one, so of course you're going to get roughly the same answer. And I think they've been too narrow in their approach. They should have given the agenda of local government reform that the state government clearly put on the table quite a few years ago now. The Huon Valley Council should have asked their consultants to do a more widespread report, and I do believe that that's what we need now. If we are going to go into some discussions with them, which I would do with some hesitancy, I'd like to see an alternative motion, because I don't think that this one, I think it kind of shapes as point B makes it look like we would be willing to discuss the M1 solution, and I don't think that that is a perception we want to give, but I think we need to broaden that. I'd be interested in Councillor Winter's alternative motion, if he has one, so that we can actually look at something which is, talks about a larger selection of things in terms of not only mergers but also resource sharing as well.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Bestone.
I read with interest on page 146 where they use the population data from 2011, that poor old Gordon has a population of 2022. So if they're actually using that as Gordon's population, the figures are fairly skewed.
Councillors, Councillor Berry indicated he had an alternative. Councillor Winter has provided a proposal, Councillor Atkinson has mentioned it. So I guess if you want to, what I would suggest, if you don't like it, don't second it and it will lapse.
and I'm happy to go in any order that you wish. So, Council Winter, we'll ask for yours, please, first. The motion in lieu of the recommendation.
Yes. Kingborough Council has a long-standing and well-articulated interest in discussing local government reform options with Huon Valley Council. Remains committed to the state government's local government reform process. Point 3, accepts Huon Valley Council's invitation, but only if all reform options are investigated. And 4th point, requests Huon Valley Council confine any public consultation within its own boundary.
I'll just wait till that gets on the screen before I seek a seconder. Have a second. Councillor Bastard. Councillor Winter.
I should also declare that Councillor Ruzicka from Huon Valley Council contacted me and had a coffee with him last week, and she's talking about different approaches to this, and the message I gave from me personally was that I wouldn't be interested in the proposals that they had at that point put forward, which is just to look at the M1 option. And for me personally, whilst I'd be happy to look at it, it would have to be in the context of all other options that a consultant we picked would look at, and really that's up to the consultant to look at what are the most viable models for local government going forward. So really we're not doing anything different. We're really just reiterating our existing position here, which is that we are interested in talking to them about local government reform, and that includes resource sharing, boundary adjustment, amalgamation, or whatever it is. But we want to do it through the state government's process. They've got money on the table to help us do this. And there's a little bit of political will there, at least from the state government, for local governments to take part in this. My view was that we already had a position that we want to look at all reform options, and that if they want to take part in a meaningful discussion, they need to put all the options on the table as well. And that's my personal point of view, and I think that's my reading of what council's point of view has been, certainly 12 months ago, and hopefully tonight as well. So. It is a difficult time to politically with what's happening at Huon Valley Council, but given we're already doing this work with Hobart and Clarence and Lenorthy, I think we are continuing to participate in a very thorough and good practice by trying at least to investigate all the options with our neighbouring council to make sure we're running local government as efficiently and effectively as we can. So I hope that summarises, that's summed up in this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Berry.
Yep, I don't need to speak again, but I just wondered whether we probably should send a copy of this to the Minister for Local Government. That was all. Perhaps that could be E or somebody of that nature.
So the seconder has asked the mover a question. So that's part of it? Yes? Right, we'll just wait for that. OK.
Okay, further speakers, Councillor Chatterton.
In a nutshell, I don't like it. I feel I'm very uneasy with it. I don't like the business of D. I don't think we should be telling the Huon Valley Council to confine their public consultation to their own boundary. I think that's an insult. I really do. It's like me saying to a councillor, don't you go and talk to the people in that street. You know, you can't do that. I don't think you can tell them not to consult. I don't believe that line needs to be there. I think that's insulting. I don't like some of the other wording in there. The original motion, A and C, are fine. I think most of us are concerned with B, of the original staff motion. We are accepting an offer to go and have further discussions with them. We've got no problem with that. That's what we said. We've got, and as Councillor very quite rightly said, whatever we do, we should advise the Minister. I think that's important because we've got to be seen that we are not sitting on our hands, that we're quite happy to talk to, and as Councillor Atkinson quite rightly said, Hobart or whoever, we've got to be seen to not sit on our hands. So that's no problem. But I just, you know, we remain committed to the state government's local government reform process. That's pretty open sort of statement. I don't like that. It's too flowery. Well, I don't like it. I shouldn't be there, in my opinion. Well, I'm speaking, and I'm allowed to speak, and I'm allowed to have my opinion. And I'm just saying, I just think some of the things that are there are just... I think we need to be short, sharp, and to the point. As I said, A and B of the original motion, I think, were fine. And I think a lot of us are having, perhaps, struggle with B. And I think it's... We're really trying to say... I think there's three things we're trying to say. One is that... Yes, we want to continue our discussion. B, we don't wish to be limited to any proposals of any description. Every proposal is on the table. One of the proposals could well be that Huon Valley and Kimber amalgamate with Hobart, for example. That should also be another not off the table. Everything's got to be on the table. And we should let the Minister know... We're not sitting on our hands. Yep, we're prepared to talk. We're prepared to see whether there's things we can do in sharing and things we could prepare to do. And we need to find out from our own communities what they expect. So I just think some of those statements are just a little bit harsh. And I don't like it.
Thank you. You don't wish to make any recommendations for the mover and seconder? Because I think that's what Councillor Winter was trying to do.
Yeah, I know. Just to receive that now and have it quickly, something I'd rather mull over and come up with the right answer rather than come up quickly and say we'll change this and change that. And...
Thank you. In that case, I'll go to Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I hear what Councillor Atkinson says. My concern is that NECO's letter says... Huon Valley Council will be pleased to enter into discussions concerning the M1 option detailed in the Bruce Gellman working document. That's what they've approached us with, and that's the only discussion that they're suggesting. If this motion fails, I'll foreshadow that I'd move the original motion with A change to repeat our offer, correct Council's offer to Huon Valley Council to commence discussions on local government reform. I'd scrap B and I'd say advise the Minister for Local Government Council's resolution. I'd say, once again, we are open to discuss local government reform. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Grace?
Yeah, and I'd support Councillor Atkinson on that. All due respects. In this motion, the General Manager's put up, all we want to do is commence discussions with McGovern. They've offered to do the discussion. We've offered. We're not going to go in and accept their paperwork or whatever. All we're doing, correct me if I'm wrong, that all we're doing under your recommendations, the General Manager, is at the first meeting with the Huon Valley, seek agreement to broaden the scope of discussions and investigations and options, etc. That's all we're asking for, plus this accept the Huon Valley's comment discussions on local government. We're not saying that we're going to pass this document, are we? No.
and that's the way, and had advised the Minister for Local Government. That's all we need to do, full stop, because we've done no more with any of the other councils that I'm aware of. We've just said that we're here to do exactly basically what you've said here, or what's written in this recommendation. So if Councillor Ackerman wants a vote, I mean, we've got this motion on, so we've got to vote with that, but all due respects, that's what I'd say. Because once before we got down, bogged down too much with this amalgamation stuff, and what happened? We ended up stuffing it up and have to come back for a special meeting to fix it.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
I like the alternative motion that Councillor Winter has put forward, because I think it is important that we ask the Huron Valley Council not to consult with people within our own boundary, because how confusing would it be if you live in Taroona or you live in Margate, and in this case Margate because we're looking at M1 option, and south of Margate, and all of a sudden the Huron Valley Council starts writing to you saying, what do you think about coming and joining with us? Because to me, that is almost, that could be read by those residents like we have endorsed this option as well. And then questions are going to be put, I think, quite rightly to us, saying, well, why is this happening? So I think that we do need to ask them to refrain. If they want to do some consultation within their own municipality, I think that's fine, but I would like them to stay away from our residents for the reasons of potentially confusing the issues and muddying the waters for us. So I think that that is a reasonable request. I think that the alternative motion is strong. I think it's important that we advise the Minister of Local Government of our resolution, and also, you know, reiterate that we do have and have had a long-standing commitment to local government reform. And so I think that alternative option covers everything we need it to, and I'll be supporting that.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Bessone?
Having seconded this, I'll be supporting it. I think it's very important that we say we've had the long-standing and well-articulated interest in discussing this reform options with the Huron Valley Council, because we did have discussion and then we heard nothing. So they've not actually had interest in discussing it before at all. They've talked about it amongst themselves and then that's it. They've presented a fait accompli to us to discuss. That's not a discussion as far as I'm concerned. So I think it's very important to say that we have had this long-standing interest, and I also think, as Councillor Reid said, that it's important that the Huron Valley Council don't start coming into Kettering and into Woodbridge and saying, oh, how about joining us? I think that's quite the wrong thing to do. And if we have to put it in writing to say that would be unhappy if they did that, I don't think there's anything wrong in that. I'll be supporting this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I'd be supporting the original recommendation with the moderation at the beginning of the sentence. I think the issue of consultation is down the track. It will need to be done, but that's only part of the story. We need to get the different scenarios discussed first before we do any consultation, and I don't think that needs to be mentioned. I think the motion from Councillor Winter, in due respect, is a bit confrontational. It's a bit spelling it out, and perhaps it's not necessary. I think the other one is a bit more passive, but at the same time, quite concise. We don't need to tell them that what we are committed to, and we don't need to say even that we're committed to the local government reform process, because we may not be if we see what it throws at us. We have committed ourselves to the process, but not necessarily the outcome. So that's sort of ambiguous, that sentence. And the word reform options, are we talking about amalgamation only, or are we talking about sharing resources? That's not spelled out. We might be quite happy to talk about the latter, but not the former. And at the same time, I can see the Huon Valley's position. If they want to consult on the 1st of July, let them come on, because we might get a huge reaction from the Channel, and particularly Bruny Island, say, saying some rude words to them, which is maybe what they need to hear. So, you know, I don't think we should put it in. I don't think we should go down that path. I think it's the recommendation from staff is much more discreet and saying less rather than more. And I do think it's not good for us to say that we're accepting the offer. We are repeating our offer. And I think hopefully that will achieve the same results. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bastone, your light's on. Councillor Grace, your light's on.
Yeah, no, I've got a question.
Question?
Question to Councillor Reid, if I may. It's, Mayor, this is not asking or given the Huon Valley the right to come in and interview ratepayers down south.
So your question?
Well, that's the question. Where in the recommendation does it say that?
It does say that in Part D.
On the new recommendation. Request Huon Valley Council
to confine any public consultations within its own boundaries.
Well, yeah, I know. But
right.
my argument is, in the recommendation by the General Manager...
You've spoken, you've asked your question.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say that we're going to give them permission.
That's right, that's what he's saying. Councillor Jackson, you've got
question.
A question?
I've got a question. Did I hear Councillor Reid say that option two was to take Taruna down to Huon Valley? Because that's not... If that's what you said, that's not correct... Option two is to take all of Kingborough, as I understand.
Point of order, is this not relevant to the
motion? No, because it was relevant to what Councillor Reid was saying before and talking about leapfrogging. So what I'm saying is option two, is it taking the boundary from somewhere up the hill, taking all of Kingborough and all of Huon, is that option two, or is it leapfrogging Taruna?
They had three options on their paperwork, and they're only looking at one option, which they refer to as the M1 option, which in essence is all areas of Kingborough with the exception to Taruna, Blackmans Bay, Kingston and Howden. Councillor Berry, you have a question only?
No, I have spoken. All I have done is to ask a question so far. So
sorry, you did ask a question last time. And
I
apologize.
Didn't speak. No, thank you. I know. I'm sure you'd allow me to speak if I was sitting in the chair.
You are sitting in the chair, Councillor.
I mean, it would be good if we could have a motion that is unanimous, and I get a sense that the motion on the table is not going to be unanimous. But nevertheless, I don't have a problem with any of the sections of it. I've heard what Councillor Fox said. I mean, we're committed to local government, state government's local government reform process. We're not saying we agree with the outcome of that reform process. I mean, you can agree to a process and argue like crazy what happens, but I mean, you have to have a process. And I think that we have it on Council's books that we have agreed to that somewhere, I'm pretty sure, because we wouldn't be doing it if we hadn't agreed to do it. So that's not something new, and if we don't, if that is a sticking point, well, Council's already agreed to participate. So I can see, you know, the bit about public consultation within its own boundary. I would remind councillors that this is not the first attempt to consult with the Huon Valley Council, and that we waited now, I think, since August 2015 for a response from the General Manager who undertook. So, I don't think there's anything there that I can take exception to. I'm open to the idea that it would be good if it was unanimous in something more simple, but I will be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. I'll ask Councillor Winter to close the vote.
The more I listen, the more I think there's actually not... We're pretty... not that far apart in our position on this. I think we're all agreeing that that we want to talk to Huon Valley and we want to discuss all the options. We're just having an argument about tone. I think Councillor Fox probably sums up best when she said this is probably stronger in the language and it's a bit more aggressive than the original motion, and so we're making decisions about whether we want to be, how we want to approach this. I think, well, my view is that maybe it's my personality, but I think we should be strong in particularly with this council and the circumstances which Huon Valley are in at the moment. I think we need to be really clear that we're not interested in just talking about this M1 option, which is what their position is. We're interested in discussing all the options, and that's been our position long-standing, and that's why I've articulated this way. Councillor Fox said that public consultation was down the track, except my understanding is it's not. It's from the Huon Valley's point of view that they're starting public consultation on the 1st of July, so it's quite urgent that council makes, that Kingborough Council at least has it clear about whether or not we want Huon Valley Council to consult within Kingborough boundary. I don't think that's a good idea. So I would hope that, that we make that very clear as well. So, I would urge councillors to support this. I think we need to be strong with Huon Valley. We need to make sure they understand that we want to look at all the options and not just in one.
Thank you, Councillor Winner. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation. Moved by... Let me see. Moved by Councillor Winner, which I know, and seconded by Councillor Bastone. The Kingborough Council A has a long-standing and well-articulated interest in discussing local government reform options with Huon Valley Council. B, remains committed to the state government's local government reform process. C, accepts Huon Valley Council's invitation, but only if all reform options are investigated. D, requests Huon Valley Council to confine any public consultation with its own boundary. And E, advise the Minister for Local Government of Council's resolution. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those opposing? We'll have a division and show of hands, please. Councillors in favour, if you would raise your hands, please. That is Councillor Winter, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Berry, and Councillor Reek. Those opposing the motion are Councillors Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Atkinson and Wass. Motion is lost. I had an indication before that there was a motion coming forward from Councillor Atkinson.
Correct.
Councillor Atkinson.
I'd like to move Council repeat its offer to Huon Valley Council to commence discussions on local government reform, advising the Minister for Local Government of Council's resolution.
I'll second.
Just waiting till we get the writing, and I've got you noted, Councillor Fox.
Repeat its offer to Huon Valley Council to commence discussions on local government reform. I said commence. We haven't had any discussion today, have we?
Well, we have.
Well, I'm happy to say resume if the Vice President
has. Okay, okay.
Yep.
That's it?
Yep.
That's correct, thank you. And I've got a seconder in Councillor Fox. I'll ask you to open debate, and then I'll ask councillors to confine their debate.
As Councillor Winter said in the previous debate, I think that we're all in agreement of where we want to go, and it's a matter of tone. And tone can be interpreted by different people, and different, you know, whether they're the giver or the receiver, and different personalities. As Councillor Winter said, he wanted the motion to be stronger. Councillor Chatterton said that if he'd received that motion as a Yarra Valley councillor, he would have found some offensive. It is personal, and you can't predict how different people will perceive things. I'm moving this as it is. I think it's straightforward and simple, and it's no change of position as to where we are. We are open to have a discussion. We want to find out. We want to have discussions with Yarra Valley Council, and as we're already with Hobart and Clarence and Glenorchy, on what the options are. That's still our position, and I think that we just should repeat that position. We're not rejecting anything from Yarra Valley Council, but we say we want to have a broad discussion. We're not interested in this narrow discussion. That's about all I can add.
Thank you, Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. That's all very well, but the only local government reform Huron Valley Council have any intention of talking about is option M1. You know, unless we're a little more specific, I can't support this. It's, it has to include words that, such as we had in the last motion about the broadening the basis for discussion. I mean, the only thing on the table here in Valley Council is, thank you very much, M1, we'll have Margate and everything south. That's what is on the table for them, and this motion does not deal with that at all.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Chadden?
Yeah, I hear where Councillor Berry's coming from. I was going to say, first of all, that I just think we probably, with the mover's consent, probably need to say expedite or at earliest convenience. In other words, not just leave it lying on the table. We want to get on with things, and I just think it perhaps needs a couple of words in there to get on with it. So I'm just wondering what we could say there, but maybe, and we perhaps need now, after hearing what Councillor Berry just said, maybe we need to say that we wish to, that discussion needs to have a complete open box.
About the discussion being broadly based on all options are on the table. But at the moment, I won't say it again, but at the moment, all they're going to be talking about is M1, because that's what has gone through their council.
We put the words after resume, broadly based, the words broadly based in there before discussions. Would that help Councillor Berry?
No, not for me. I think we need to be saying what was in the content of one line in the previous motion, that we would like to talk to them. We'd like to have all the possible options discussed and on the table. That's all we're interested in, and all they're interested in is just one option. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Bastone?
I won't be able to support this motion for two reasons. One is that it's not broad enough in the discussions, and secondly, because the Huon Valley Council have said they're going to start public consultations on the 1st of July. 1st of July is a few days away. We won't have discussions with them before then, no matter how we work, since it's August last year since they last wanted to discuss anything with us. And I think we've got to be quite firm on this. What we want is part of the deal. So I could not support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Fox.
I'm surprised that Councillor Atkinson's removed item B, because I do think it's important that we ask them to broaden the scope of discussion, to look at all possible options. And I have a question too. We have got a financial arrangement with the Hobart City Council to do this reform. I presume we've received money from the state government to do it. And I also presume that Huon Valley Council has not entered into that arrangement with the state government, because they've paid for Mr. Felmingham's report, but they haven't put to the minister that they would include us in any discussion to this point. Or if they had, then they would have told us that they're open to discussion. So are they going it alone, or are they also going to be getting support from the minister to go down this route if we agree to go with them on this discussion? But I do think it's imperative that we look at all options and not just their M1, and that needs to be absolutely clear in this motion.
The minister indicated that he would provide financial assistance to all and sundry, and I wouldn't have thought the minister would pay out on a 2011 report in 2016. Pardon?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, the minister's statement needs to be attributed to two or more councils for the state government funding offer to be put on the table. So at this stage, Huon Valley Council do not have a partner.
Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I opposed the last motion because I thought it was a bit harsh in the wording, and we do quite a few things with Huon Council. We don't want to upset them. And we shouldn't also just treat them like some company treat us, I suppose, in their motion. But, so I just think the recommendation that the General Manager put forward is basically the same as what we've been saying. We've just been skirting around the facts. So I'm quite happy with the original motion. So I will, yeah, if it says similar to that, then I'll be supporting it.
So you're letting me know that if this motion is lost, you will put the original motion. Councillor Reid?
I'd like to suggest, given the last motion was, alternative motion was lost, I would like to suggest an amendment to this one so that we actually reinstate the old view, which was at the first meeting of Huon Valley Council to agree to broaden scope, because I think that it is important, but I think the difference then in the wording that Councillor Atkinson put forward is that it's reiterating that we have made the offer numerous times to the Huon Valley Council to have discussions with them, and they've been the ones who have put the roadblocks up to it. Okay, there were some other things along the way that they had to deal with, but you know that we're making the offer yet again. But I think it is important that it does, because we're not just going to discuss their old report, we want a full discussion. So
I'll ask the mover and seconder whether they would include B as B. Yes, thank you. Yep. So, councillors, A remains A, B is from the officer's report, and the part B is now C, if you follow that. Further speakers for or against? Councillor Fuita.
You might just take a second.
No, you're right.
Yeah, thank you. It just seems a little bit contradictory. This is not the end of it. We're just remaining to amend it. Sort of B's referring to their proposal, yet in A we're repeating our proposal. So we're talking about two different things. Where we're talking about responding to their proposal in B and asking to broaden it, but in A we specifically said we want to repeat our original offer. Am I making sense?
You're always making sense.
Thank you. Thank you. There you go.
In agreeing to that modification aspect,
yes, sir.
Could we reword slightly and say, first meeting with the Huon Valley Council, seek agreement for a broad discussion with investigation of options for analysis, so it's not that the result, Councillor, with this point, so it's not to broaden, because that implies we're talking about their offer, but just for a broad discussion.
Yeah. Okay, that's all you want to add, Councillor?
Hang on a second. Now, at the. Going to a broad discussion.
So the writing of the. The board is correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just get Amanda to change that. Seek agreement to a broad.
broad discussion.
Could we put the word all before options?
we're about to wrap it up. I think it is important that we've got a unified position. So I think this is getting pretty close to it's been a good outcome. So I'm going to support it and wrap it up quickly for Councillor Grace's benefit.
All right. I'll ask the mover to Councillor Berry.
We're getting close. I agree with Councillor Interact. I support it. I mean, I'd just like to point out, of course, at the first meeting that they have a motion on their books, which says that's the only thing they can discuss. So they're going to have to deal with that at some stage. But there we are.
All right. So I'll ask Councillor Atkinson to close debate. The options, obviously, is that you either support this or you refuse it or you defer it. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Not to test Councillor Grace's patience too much further. I'm glad that we've had this discussion, and I know that it's been tedious, but I think it's important that we, as someone mentioned earlier, that we come to a unanimous position so that we're showing what our council believes, and there's no ambiguity as to where we're going. I'm glad that there's a suggestion to put the second clause back in there. So I recommend the motion to the council.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council A repeat its offer to the Huon Valley Council to resume discussions on local government reform. B, at the first meeting with Huon Valley Council, seek agreement to a broad discussion into options for analysis that would provide the best possible outcome for ratepayers of Huon Valley and Kingborough Councils. And C, advise the Minister of Local Government of Council's resolution. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those opposing the motion, please say nay. We'll have a show of hands for division work only. And in favour are Councillor Winter, Councillor Grace, Councillor Percy, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Fox, Councillor Berry, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Reek, Councillor Voss, and opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone. Motion is carried. For the record, can we note, please, that Councillor Grace left the meeting at 6:49 during debate and returned during debate at 6:52.
Congratulations, General Manager. We came back to his recommendation.
Now, the next page. The next item is on page 165, and at 7:04 p.m. Councillors Percy and Bastone have left the meeting. On page 165, bylaw permit to use East Coast Jetty, and the recommendation is on page 174. I have a mover in Councillor Chadden, and I have a seconder in Councillor Grace. Councillor Chadden.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I think it's wonderful that we have such an entrepreneur in our municipality that's had the foresight to build this new jetty and landing area and putting in a substantial amount of money, $300,000, alongside the $200,000 in grant. He will be paying some fees, and as the report shows, that the fees will be less over a period of time to compensate for that $300,000. And once those rebates have been utilised, then the operator is back onto full fees. But he's on a three-staged event to get to there. The facility is also a public facility. Obviously, it'll be controlled, although it's a council jetty, but it's still subject to mast. And we may be able to get funding from MAST in the future if we need to do anything to it, because it is a waterway facility. But as such, I think what Mr. Ferrier has said in the report is excellent. I have no problems at all with it, and I just recommend the strategy to the rest of the council, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chatwin. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got no basic problems with this. I had a bit of discussion with Ferrier about the life cycle cost of the jetty and maintenance cost and depreciation. He's reassured me that that's all fine. I did have a question on page 169, the third dot point after the diagram talks about the refuelling and closing the jetty during refuelling. I wondered how that worked if there are recreational vessels moored to the jetty. I was wondering how that works as far as there was access to the jetty. I'm assuming that something deals with that.
I'll ask Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, it will be consistent with how it operates at the moment, and I understand there haven't been any problems in that regard. And I guess the operators of the charter boats take into account the fact that if there's any existing people using the jetty at the time, they wait until that's been completed. They will rope off the jetty for that period of time that the refuelling is occurring. I think the idea will be that I'll just put a simple rope across the front of the jetty with a bit of sign on it, just refuelling is occurring. And that's fairly similar to what's also occurring with the existing jetty. So I don't think that that's been a problem to date. It certainly hasn't been reported to council as being a problem to date, so I understand that the same practices will continue.
Thank you. I assume you decided to understand what the current practice was, and if so, another vessel was there for a long term, whether there was any issue with access to it, but I have faith that this operator works in a consultative manner, so no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that recommendation, moved by Councillor Chatwin, seconded by Councillor Grace, that the report of the proposed commercial use of East Cove jetty be noted, and the council resolves to A, grant a commercial use permit as provided for under the Marine Facilities Bylaw No. 1 of 2011 to Pennycott Wilderness Journeys in accordance with the application to use the East Cove jetty submitted on 2nd of June 2016. B, that this permit be for a period of 20 years and that fees be charged for using the East Cove jetty on the basis that they are initially to be one-third of the required fee, in brackets $27 per trip in 2016-17, close brackets, up until an effective subsidy of $100,000 has been reached, and then two-thirds of the fee up and until an effective subsidy of $50,000 has been reached, and C, that this permit also apply to the continued use of the Adventure Bay jetty up and until the commercial activity is able to permanently transfer to the East Cove jetty, and after which occasional use is allowed when wind and wave conditions do not permit the safe use of the East Cove jetty, in brackets with normal full fees to be paid for any use of the Adventure Bay jetty, close brackets. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried. Voting was for it was Councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wasp, Bigger and Reed. On page 175, community plan, and there is a recommendation on page 177. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Grace.
I move because it only states that council management team arrange a workshop, so we're going to budget, because I have concerns at the finance of the thing, $75,000, and I'd like more opportunity to debate that. And we will be given that opportunity at a workshop.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Berry.
I suppose I should speak. I think I sounded soft, unexpressed form of the general manager. But councillors will be aware that we have discussed from time to time over the past 12 months ways in which we might engage our community and find out from them some information, like sort of do they support various things we're doing, and in fact how we might spend our budget. We flirted with the participatory budgeting process that was adopted by Melbourne City Council and backed off with that because of cost. the community plan does, it's a much more extensive process than developing a strategic plan. It does cost money, but it does actually feed in views of our community. It has to be done properly and appropriately, and it does cost money. And as Councillor Gray said, we're not committing ourselves to a lot of money at the moment, and maybe we'll choke on it anyway once we find out. But I do think that maybe this is a teething process. That we, my personal view is that we do need to find out more what our community thinks about what we're doing, and the budget process is one that it seems like to me perhaps that's something we can do before the next budget. But our community, I don't think any more we can feed them with, I can't remember the phrase now, but our community and the ratepayers are interested in what we do and how we spend our money. I think their views should be obtained. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. I'll put the recommendation move. Sorry, Councillor Fox, I didn't see your light.
No, I haven't stood it. I'm still writing the note for myself.
That's okay. Floor's yours.
I think it's really, the motion doesn't actually state the elephant in the room, which is probably the fact that we want community participation in all of these processes, and that isn't recognised in the motion. We're just getting having a workshop to discuss the council budget process, strategic plan, annual plan, and the community plan, but it doesn't talk about our desire to have community participation. Do we want to modify that motion, or is everyone comfortable with that?
I'll answer the question for you as I see it, and certainly that's open to individual comments. The strategic plan, we always go out to our community, which is a requirement, and we've done that. We can't have a community plan without a community input, so I hear what you say, but I think that will be catered for, and I really see that when we're discussing that as a council workshop, those things will come out of it. Certainly going forward, that would be a lay down this area requirement to my belief. If that gives you comfort.
I hope the general manager is comfortable with that.
I'll ask the general manager whether he believes in what I just said. General manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Fox, I'm comfortable that a workshop would provide all councils with the opportunity to discuss the required level of community engagement and participation in whatever process it is the council is comfortable with.
I think it's important. The words potential to undertake are there, and that's the wording is. All we're saying is potential there to undertake it. We're going to workshop it to see if we can do one. If we can do one, then there's a process, and the process would then involve exactly what Councillor Fox is alluding to, in my opinion.
Exactly.
I have no problem.
No more discussion. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Berry. The Council's management team arrange a Council workshop to discuss the Council budget process, strategic plan, annual plan, and potential to undertake a community plan. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried by Councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wass, Winter and Reed. On page 178, architectural design competition, Kingston Community Hub on former Kingston High School site, and there is a recommendation on page 183. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a continuation of a process that we agreed to. We talked about the design competition and the importance of getting expert involvement in the design. I'm glad to see that we've gone down through that process, that we haven't had councillors adding wings on here and floors on there and whatever. I think it's important to have a consistent concept to this thing, and I hope that we can have the strength of our resolve and say, okay, we put this out, we've got the best answer back, this is what we'd like to see done. The motion is, noting the results of the competition. Well, that seems pretty unambiguous. endorsing the decision to award the first place, well, I'm not going to argue with the decision of the panel that we said that the process would go through, and note that the architect who appointed the project architect, who we said we wanted to have this thing designed, we want to go down this process, these are the architects that we've, through our process that we've agreed to. I don't see anything very controversial about this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Reid.
I don't see anything particularly controversial about the motion, but I'm disappointed that it's coming after the announcement was publicly made, because to me it says that our processes internally are a little bit back to front, particularly given that this actually says that we should endorse it. Well, if we don't want to endorse it, it's a bit late now because it's been publicly announced. So we don't really have any choice, otherwise we'd look pretty darn stupid. So when I saw this in the media last week, I actually thought that it must have been before the council meeting on the 14th of June when I wasn't here. And it was only when I had the chance to go back and read the papers from that meeting that I realised that it wasn't, and that it was today. So I think for the future, it would have been better for us to have this before the announcement. I'd be interested in why the announcement was made last week, why last week and before it came here. I just think we've fallen over ourselves with that process. Having said that, I fully support it. It's obviously attracted a great deal of interest from some well-known architects, not only here but in state as well. And, you know, the result is certainly a very striking thing, and certainly I wouldn't be advocating anything that we want to tinker with the pictures or anything like that, because I think we're not best placed to do that, but I think that we should have perhaps got our own processes a little bit better, and I'd be interested in the response to that.
Thank you. The panel made the announcement to us, and certainly when my comments were with the media, I indicated that that had to be confirmed with the next council.
What if all of a sudden there was an uprising, you know, and we decided to change, you know? That opportunity has been taken away from us. Our democratic rights have been taken away from us.
Councillor Chapman.
I totally agree with the report and the process. The only thing is, I would have liked to have seen the designs that missed out, and I was unable to find them anywhere. I just thought, as councillors, we should have at least been able to view the unsuccess. I know there's a report there on them, on the various ones, but I would have liked to at least have a look at them and just see where the panel was coming from. I don't disagree with the panel. I'm quite happy to support it all, but I would have liked to have seen the unsuccessful designs.
There were five on council's website, and I believe council...
Well, I went on the website, Mayor, and I couldn't find them. But I've read the report, but I couldn't see any designs. I may be wrong.
I'll ask Mr. Ferry to comment.
Through the chair, yeah, the five were there for about a fortnight, and then they were taken down once the decision had been made as to which was the winner. So the unsuccessful ones were taken down once the decision had been made as to which was the jury's selected design.
I wasn't aware of anything until I saw the winner came out, so I wasn't aware to go look.
No, there was some media on the fact that the five were available to be viewed on the website, but it was only about a fortnight.
Is there any chance of having them in the council's room?
Yes, I've got copies here of the five, and I'll leave them in the council's room.
That'd be very nice. Thank you.
Done. Thank you, Councillor Grace.
Well, let's all look at the risks, even though we're only here tonight. I believe that this will be the death of Kingo. I won't say no more. I'm just anxiously waiting for when council put a DA in. Then we'll see some action. But I won't support this because I don't support that project. That land is too valuable for the public and do stupid things on it like this. That's my belief.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Atkinson, if you'd like to close the debate.
I've got one question before I close the debate.
You may.
I just want to know, do we own the intellectual property on all the designs that were submitted?
Mr. Ferrier?
Do we own those designs, you're saying? Do we own... No,
do we
don't.
Own the intellectual property on them? Like, by entering the competition, do they hand over the rights to those designs?
No. It's
So...
We don't. The fact that they've just put designs into us doesn't mean that we actually own those designs. They're still owned by the by the architects who provided them.
Okay, try and clarify.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council A note the results of the architectural design competition for the proposed community hub on the former Kingston High School site and the decisions of the independent jury that assessed the submissions to this competition. B, endorse the decision to award first place to March Studio Architects Pty Limited, and that a joint second place is to be awarded to Benchmole K Architects and Jones Moore Architecture in association with Architects Design House. And C, note that March Studio Architects Pty Limited will be appointed as project architects and will now work with Council on progressing the community hub project. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, we'll have a division show of hands. And councillors in favour are councillors Winter, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reith and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Gray's motion is carried. The next item is on page 184, Annual Plan 2016-17 and Strategic Delivery Plan 2015 through to 2020. And there is a recommendation on page 186. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Was that scratching the head or was that the arm? Just as well we're not at an auction. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Fox.
It's a fairly straightforward motion. I guess there have been some changes made as listed in section 4, and they're basically following decisions that we've made. So I recommend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. An error that I picked up in the Mayor's introduction on page 190. It's been a bit of a cut and paste from previous years. In fact, it's actually, most of it is previous years, which may be something that, you know, could be changed, because otherwise some smart person in the community is going to go, look, the Mayor's just said exactly the same as he said last year, because it hasn't changed a great deal. But there is an error, and it says, it is in the third paragraph, it's shaped by of our broader strategic plan, which is currently being updated and involves major community consultation about residents, that is a priority. We've done that, because that was 2015. We did that last year, so that's probably my sense of size.
Thank you. Further comment? Councillor Winter?
Thanks. As the same as last year, there's always seems to be an awful lot in this and must be quite intimidating list of things. I was wondering how or if there's any process for reporting on our progress in actually delivering or the items within the plan. I know there is for the strategic plan, but is that an internal process or is that something councillors see where we actually see how we're going in achieving this massive list of things?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor, we will be providing a quarterly update on achievements or lack of moving forward, and we are working on our processes to ensure that the reporting is the best it possibly can be.
Thanks. Yeah, I guess just reiterating, I think this is exactly the same as what I said last year. It just seems like these are plans that just ask so much of a local government authority, which we're not actually a large government organisation. And just read through all of the things that council quite deliberately is involved in, and it crosses pretty closely with the budget situation we're in, where we're having to ask for more and more from our ratepayers so we can achieve this this list of objectives. And some of the things I just think are well and truly outside of core service. So whilst I appreciate the enthusiasm that officers clearly have to put these down, it just worries me that we're stretching resources so thin and we're asking more and more As I said, this directly correlates with asking ratepayers for more rates every year.
Thank you, Councillor Winner. Councillor Chadwick.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, it is a very long and involved document of about 140 pages and roundabouts for the annual plan and strategic plan and the operational, etc. If a ratepayer wants to know what's going on, there's a lot of stuff there that, in fairness, they wouldn't want to sit down and read. Are we planning to put some brief document together that refers in back to this document that we can hand a ratepayer and they can say, oh, these are our major things we want to do, these are the major directions of council, and it refers back to this lengthy document if they wish to know more and more in depth? Because if you have this document out there, there'd probably be only, I guess, 30 people at the most that want to sit down and read such a lengthy document. But they want to know what's going on. And is there some opportunity that we can have something that's short, sharp, points to points, but points back to this document?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Chatterton, we currently have a document very similar to what you're describing that relates specifically to our strategic plan and that talks to our annual plan. So that's probably the most succinct form that we can come up with at the moment.
Do light on for any questions?
On page 199, there's a dot point. It's right in the middle of the dot points. It's fourth from the bottom. It says facilitate direct investment in the local economy in order that local services are provided to the growing population and that employment opportunities are provided. I won't read the rest. What does that actually mean?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Winner, in endeavouring to answer that question, I'll begin by saying that one of the things the council does with its planning scheme is to facilitate opportunities for a whole range of things that drive the economy, including industrial land, residential land, commercial land. And in its broadest term, that's what that dot point is alluding to.
Okay. Thank you.
Would a question on that point, if I have a question, would that also relate to us being involved as putting money into, say, the KCEC that tries to facilitate work and business growth and growth within the municipality and bring options? Would that sort of bring it into that as well?
Mr. Arnold? Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor Chatterton. It also refers to the advocacy work that's undertaken by both the Mayor, councillors and officers on behalf of Kimberley.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Before the meeting, the General Manager mentioned to me that he's picked up a number of small typos in the annual plan that they'll be corrected, and I have no problem with those affairs. I don't change the intent of the plan in place. And one I hope you've seen, Councillor Regis pointed out on page 222, the operating revenue says forecast 2015-2065. I assume it's been picked up. I really just want to pick up on the points that Councillor Winter said about the large number of points here and whether they're what Council should be doing or not. And I think this ties remarkably into the discussion of the community plan. If we know from the community the small number of things or a large number of things, but the direction what they expect of their council, then expanding it out, this plan makes sense. And again, isn't this ambiguity of, are these things that have been dreamed up by councillors or by officers or whatever? It ties back to what the community expects of the council, and I would like to place our decision on that rather than our opinion of, you know, the people we talk to. So I look forward to that workshop.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that A, Council endorses the Kingborough Council Strategic Delivery Plan 2015 to 2020, version 2nd of June 2016, and B, in accordance with Section 71 of the Local Government Act 1993, Council adopts the annual plan
for the 2016-17 financial year. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division show of hands, please. Councillors in favour are Councillors Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Moss. And opposing the motion, we have Councillor Winter, Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The next item, I think, is on page 324, Policy 3.10, Risk Management Policy, with a recommendation on page 325. Thank you, Councillor Chadron. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any discussion, Councillor Chadron?
I just endorse the policy, Mr. Breen's comments there, and of course they carry the audit panel's comments there in the discussion, 3.4, etc. They've asked us to look at the possibility of holding further workshops in regards to risk management. We have to start somewhere with the policy, and obviously further things will be discussed down the track. So I just endorse what's before us at this point in time.
Thank you, Councillor Chadron. Councillor Grace?
Yeah, wasn't some of this stuff pointed out to us before by the audit department, the audit panel? This update, we still haven't addressed the issues. Am I wrong or right?
Mr. Allen?
We were asked to address some issues, I understood.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The Council Audit Panel have previously, through their reporting to Council, identified the need for a workshop on risk management that's been undertaken. This particular policy was up for renewal, and that's why the report is before Council tonight. But as Councillor Chatterton has alluded, there's discussion and being undertaken at the moment with the audit panel about the potential for further workshops with Council.
Councillor Fox?
Yeah, I was going to ask whether we'd be having further workshops because these things need to be updated all the time. I'm particularly pleased to see the traffic light system being used with the moderate, high and extreme risk. It's very visual and easy to understand, and I think it's a great document. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. No further discussion. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadron, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the updated risk management policy and strategy be approved. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried. On the voting of Councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wasp, Witter and Reid. The next item is page 346. Would you like 5 to 10 minutes or do you want to keep pressing through? Keep going. Okay, the next item is on page 346, information reports, moved by Councillor Berry and seconded by Councillor Reid. The information reports, the first one is the financial report from the 1st of July 2015 to the 31st of May 2016. Any comments, any questions to the report? Councillor Winter.
I was just going to ask, generally, on page 352, we've got some budget notes there comparing the original to forecast budget. Just looking at some general commentary on particularly items 11 and 12 where we've had a negative impact. Just a bit of explanation about what's happened there.
Yeah, I'll ask Mr. Breen. Mr. Breen?
Through the Chair. Essentially, the first one, particularly in regards to depreciation, there's two issues that have essentially affected that. The first was a 5% revaluation of all our assets at the beginning of this financial year, and that has flown through to depreciation, increasing that. And the second part is the componentisation of our road network has significantly increased our asset values, particularly in regards to bringing online roundabouts and retaining walls which weren't previously in the asset register. And both those have had a significant impact on depreciation. Point number 12 there, the carrying amount of assets retired. Up until last year, the The TAS Audit Office were happy for us to flow that carrying amount of assets retired through our revaluation reserve. Last year they picked it up and said that's not an appropriate treatment of retired assets, and so from here on in that will be, it's a budget item, and we'll be carrying the assets that we retire during the year, and particularly where you upgrade an asset or renew an asset, the old asset has to be written off, and that's the process that we go through. In future years we'll be trying to accelerate depreciation on those assets so that we reduce that that we'll write off on an annual basis.
Is there any further information about the financial assistance grants? I understand there was a timing issue. Is there expected to be any other irregular timing issues with that going forward that might impact these reports further?
Mr. Perry?
Through the chairs, if you remember last year on the 30th of June, the federal government decided to distribute half of the grants for this particular year early. At this stage, there's no indication they will do that again, and perhaps the fact that there's an election might preclude that from happening. But I guess there's always a possibility, and my assumption is they have a look at their cash flows towards the end of the year and make an appropriate call.
Okay, thank you.
And in Canberra last week, the feeling was that the present government, if re-elected, will pick up the FAGs at the appropriate level and the freeze. So, and I understand the opposition also say so. Councillor Grace.
I don't know, I'm a bit lost, Mayor. I'm looking at page 350 and I'm looking at the rate. I've got a two or three there. Rate increase is higher than budget by $72,000 due to garbage rates being $91,000 higher than budget estimate, offset by general rates. So what are you trying to tell me? We're $72,000 higher than what we expected. Then, if that's the case, my question, I guess, is back to here not long ago, we were told we weren't correcting them right. Well, not charging enough for our garbage collection, then we had to increase it. So I'm a little bit of a loss there. Maybe I should come in and speak to Mr. Green in his office about it. I don't know.
All right, I'll ask Mr. Green if he can give you a response, and certainly you're always welcome to discuss that with him. Mr. Green.
Yes, through the chair. Essentially, that's correct. Our garbage rates for the year were at the moment are $91,000 over budget, so we've collected more than we expected to, bearing in mind this is about a $3 or $4 million budget there, so it's, while it's over, it's only marginally over. And our general rates, which is the remainder, which is about $17 million, is running at about $19,000 under. So these are only, I guess, really marginal variances. So the reason for increases next year are due to the increase in cost the council will bear over the next 12 months.
Yeah, by that time, I think are we still looking at calling tenders? But this is the garbage. I'm not sure how long that contract runs. But anyway, the other one is the let's just find this one. The plant one. We're going to read that about the plant. Other income is above budget by $246,000. Budget due to primary internal charges of plant and equipment, which is $130,000, reimbursed for workers' compensation issues. What's the plant? What are we?
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Brain to respond to that question.
Yeah, through the chair, what council does is it. It essentially runs an internal charging process against all plant. I guess it's all vehicles used by various departments. So, for instance, if a car's in the finance department, essentially there's an internal charge between plant equipment and finance, and then all the expenditure associated with the vehicle sits in plant equipment. So there's this internal charge, which is really a way of allocating the costs to the appropriate department. At the beginning of last year, that was reviewed. I think it's been a couple of years before it's been reviewed. So essentially, the internal charge went up significantly, and that resulted in the variance. But on the other side, the expenditure has gone up as well. So it's really just an offsetting internal charge.
So that leads a question that I did ask for a copy of what we get for our tradings and sector and what the replacement cost are when it's up to date with that. So maybe that, I know that's part of the general manager's report. Just one other thing I'd just like to say, Mayor, about the financial statement. It doesn't give me an opportunity to vote against it because it's all one. We've got the finance, we've got the general manager, so the spreadsheet and all that in one. It doesn't give us an opportunity to vote individually, but I don't know whether council has seen a TV program on the 7:30 report here not long ago about a council on the mainland taking their council down for $1.82 million. There was no scrutiny on the financial stuff in this particular council too much, and I refer back to what I've harped and harped and I will harp on until I'm out of this council, is that I still believe strongly that we should be still given the check butt register each month.
Thank you, and that's a government, state government change.
Okay.
That was a state government change.
Well, I'm told it's not, Mr. Mayor. I'm told that before some of the things I'm told, that this is state government. When I check it out, they tell me no, it's up to every individual councillor.
I'm only going on the director for local government.
Well, maybe we can ask the question at the LGAT.
Thank you. No further questions on the financial report. We'll move on to the second report, which is the general manager's diary from the 16th of May to the 17th of June, which I think is on pages 355 onwards. No questions, no comments. Okay. The minute spreadsheet.
One on I thought the or can I talk about it here, I suppose, the True Point kiosk. It's listed here.
If you've got a question, or...
But it's listed in open here. Where, is it or not?
Where is it? Which item?
Mr. General Manager is looking straight at. Well, look, I'll leave it. Is it closed, Mr. Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's on page 359, Councillor Grace, and as it says there, the tender documentation has been prepared.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going to have the tenders out before the 1st of July, Mr. Mayor. I mean, it's only a few days away. Is it individual that the tender come out soon?
Mr. Arnold? Through you, Mr. Mayor, soon. I don't know the exact date.
Could you let us all know? When? Because there are some interest in and it's out and about that it's going out for tender.
Okay, done. Nothing on the minutes. The next item is attendance by councillors at the LGAT course. The questions I would have of the participants was the course of information to you and what was the main part of the course that tickled your fancy? Councillor Fox?
I was really impressed with the way that the councillors all were asked to describe their background before they were councillors, and how it was quite obvious that they come from a wide range of backgrounds, but most of them are already deeply involved in community work before they get on council, and they're often influenced by their parents as examples or as children even, observing other community groups and service clubs in their communities and then wanting to go down that track themselves. I also thought it was really interesting how the roles and functions of counsellors were described and how we all might participate differently, but how each individual can make an enormous contribution from their own perspective. And also the processes that we have to deal with and how complicated our roles are. And even the Act needs to be adjusted and changed to keep up to date with current practices and problems that arise from the Act itself and how we need to deal with those issues and changes and modifications of our behaviour or the Act itself and how we adapt to that. So, no, it was, in general, I thought it was extremely well run, very participatory and very inclusive and quite an eye-opener to me. And I've been in the industry for 28 nearly years and I was still learning things and felt included in the process.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Chadden?
Councillor Percy and I went to a different day to Councillors Fox and Richards and Atkinson. I think it would be fair to say that I was a little bit disappointed and didn't come away with any great enthusiasm as a result of it, and I think it would be true to say Councillor Percy was the same, because we did discuss it at great length in the car on the way back. Look, as far as meeting other councillors and sharing ideas and the way in which councils run, and seeing what the various councils and how they conduct their business and what they do, yes, that was interesting. But for the amount of money that it cost to send us, I think it was not warranted for any of us to be there for the price we had to pay. And the facilitators were very nice people, but I expected to get far more out of it. In particularly in far as governance, we the people who were running it, of course, was the Australian Institute of Company Directors, and I expected more to come out of a director's way. I mean, yes, we are looked upon as directors as running a company, because that's what councillors are with the council. But in saying that, I was disappointed. I did sit alongside the mayor of Glenorchy, and I did get an insight into Glenorchy as much as one could, but it was very interesting that we had to pair up, and I had to introduce the mayor of Glenorchy and she had to introduce me, so it forced us to find out a little bit about each other, and I was very impressed with the mayor of Glenorchy with her credentials, being a criminologist, etc., and what she'd done in the community prior to being mayor. It was very interesting, and we all did that, and we had a very good cross-section of people from right round Tasmania, from that perspective, it was interesting, but not worth the money that we had to pay to go.
Thank you. Look, I've always supported training and whatever we can do, and I remember Councillor Berry, when he was mayor, Mayor Berry arranged, I think, with Glenorchy that we could take on a couple of courses or a couple of subjects under the Australian Institute of Company Directors, which us and Glenorchy participated, and I found quite worthy. Yeah, just after that feedback, because if that's something that we want to do, I'm more than happy to arrange it on a 1 and 3, 1 and 1, 1 and 2, whatever other councils might be interested in, Mayor Berry did at this time.
Could I just add that I think a professional development for councillors is really important, but also the social interaction. As councillors, we don't get that many opportunities to interact with councils from around the state, unless we're in, say, the Local Government Women's Association, or we're on a specific committee that we're appointed to, unless we go to the Local Government Conference, which is only once a year. But I think it is important that when these opportunities are there, that we do make the most of them to broaden our horizons and share ideas and maybe share what we're doing differently and also understand what other councils are doing around the state.
Don't disagree. Thank you for that. Councillor Grass?
Mr Mayor, I'm sorry, but I sort of... Did you skip over Bruni on advisory?
I did, but we'll go back to it. I've noticed that myself.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Reid?
I was going to ask, because it mentions in the report here that notes
from the court could be made available in the council's room. I don't know if it's close to me, so.
Yes. So notes, whoever offered the notes or all four did.
I took photos of all the butcher's papers, so I'm more than happy to provide copies of those in the council's room.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Chater. So we'll go back to the minutes of the Bruny Island Advisory Committee. Councillor Grace.
I'd just like to acknowledge the fact that we had some people, or Councillor Percy had guests there, Scott Duffy, from the Community Enterprise Centre. It's taken 3 years to get somebody from the Enterprise Centre there, but it's great that Scott has found time to go there. When Mr Cleary was there 3-4 times, he couldn't make it. And I believe it was quite fruitful for those sorts of people. And that's why I mention it, Mayor. It's fruitful for those sort of people to go over there and talk to primary industry and other groups over there and other members on that committee. So, good.
Yep, don't disagree, Councillor Grace.
The students of the Bruny Island District School, nice now to see again. We've got some of the stuff they've actually undertaken, like redevelopment of the school oval, nearing completion. To us, it's an oval. But to those students, it is more than an oval. It's their own oval. And they're proud. They've worked hard. I certainly was against putting the money into that sort of oval on the other side of the road. And we've got our oval on the opposite side, which probably won't get as used much now. But anyway, the swimming carnival, etc., etc. And, of course, they've been very, very active with their solo panelling down there and kept the committee up to date on what sort of savings they're getting in the school. But I won't go on to much more. There's solo panelling, as I said. Who else was there? I think Mrs. Boyer from the Roads Department. No, she didn't. Okay, sorry then. Anyway, I just wanted to mention those few things, and well done to Councillor Percy and the committee.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. On that note, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Berry, second by Councillor Reid, that the following information reports be noted. That's the financial report, 1st of July, 31st of May, the general manager's diary, 16 May, 17 June, the minutes spreadsheet, the attendance by councillors at the Legat course, and the minutes of the Bruny Island Advisory Committee held on the 9th of June. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried by councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wass, Witter and Reid. The next item is on page 368, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session.
Mayor, sorry. Wouldn't it be appropriate just before the staff leave, I know you mentioned it, Mr. Holloway's last council meeting, just to, I suppose I probably had more to do with Ms. Holloway than many people around the table. How long have you been here, Ian?
Since 5:30, Councillor Berry.
I know it's well past your bedtime. Okay.
10 years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would just like to acknowledge the work that Ian's done for council. I mean, he's been the right or left hand man for three general managers now, and third at office he attends all the senior management meetings. He's a bit like a cabinet secretary, sort of hears everything, sees everything, but keeps his mouth firmly shut, which is a very good process. But I just want to acknowledge his commitment and to the council, to his integrity, his professionalism with everything he does. And the last thing, and probably it doesn't feature highly, Ian, is to complete the Alan Clift track. Because I think that we said that we would do this about 7 years ago. Some things do take a long time. And so you seem to have managed to stand up for every challenge. Certainly when I was mayor, if I wasn't sure what to do or what was going on, Ian was always the first call for me. So thanks, Ian.
and we...
Mr. Mayor, could I comment on behalf of the community out there? Because I, wearing my men's shed hat and other community hats that I have, Ian is held in very, very high regard by the community and his work and his work ethics with the community, and he'll be absolutely solely missed by all concerned. And on behalf of the community, Ian, thank you very much for what you do, and you really are appreciated.
And the only thing that I will wish him, that neither of you did, wish him best in his, semi-retirement, I suppose, because I think the whiteboard will have a lot of jobs on there for him when he's at home. So all the best, Ian, and thank you. 368, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Councillor Fox has moved it, Councillor Atkinson has seconded it. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session, that is, applications for a leave of absence and acquisition of land, Esplanade, Margate. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, and that is carried on by Councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wasp, Winter and Reith. Closed session. Mover and seconder, thank you Councillor Chatterton and thank you Councillor Berry. Then in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 215, or 2015, the Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, so that is carried by Councillors Atkinson, Berry, Chatterton, Fox, Grace, Wasp, Winter and Reith. The open session of Council now is adjourned at 7:56.